Welcome to the nara.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nara CBD. What is the nara.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nara. Today we have Jess Bromley of Good Things Organic. And Jess is a district coordinator on the nara.org.au project, like me. We also share in common that we jumped straight into the project without actually knowing what it was. We just said yes, and we kind of figured it out along the way, and it was really fun to go through the process of that with her. And she's sitting here wearing her Nara shirt proudly, and the Nara merch is also available at Good Things Organic. If you're loving the shirts or the tote bags or the hats, you can buy them from her shop down here in the Nara CBD. But Jess is the founder of Bomo Bulk, which is now evolved into Good Things Organic. It was born and has grown into a flourishing community of like-minded people across the South Coast who want to eat well, waste less, and share more. She has won the Women in Business Award for 2022. She has won the Shoalhaven Business Chamber Award for Excellence in Sustainability in 2023 and 2024. And in 2025, she won the Excellence in Business Award. And she's been a finalist in the Illawarra Business Chamber Awards for all of those categories. Good Things Organic has expanded locations, taking over our humble meditation space at Be Here Nara and opening in Vincentia. Also, Jess, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Yeah, it's been really nice to get to know you over the years through our shared wall, which was then knocked down to get more space. And it was really, when the Be Here Nara studio closed down, it was really nice to know that it was going to such a great home and like expanding your operations and how much more space you have and storage in the back for your team. Yeah. I know that was a big thing for you. But yeah, it's been really great to know you and work on this project together as
Definitely.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? I remember first meeting you when you first started doing your meditation here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, another person next door. But obviously, we keep running into each other because we have the same motivations, I guess. And yeah, it's been awesome getting to know you and work together. And yeah, I think we kind of operate the same way.
Yeah, yeah. We like getting stuff done. And that's what I appreciate about you. You're like, you see a job, you do the job. And you know, things really happen that way as well when people do things. So I've got a few questions here that we start off with everybody. The first question is, what's the most underrated thing about Nara that people always get wrong?
People always seem to think that there's nothing here in Nara. I'm not quite sure why they think that. Probably because they just don't spend enough time here to realize that we are actually the gateway to everything that's awesome here. I know everything kind of gets advertised between Jervis Bay and these other really awesome, amazing things that we have access to, which is great. But there's a lot of places here that are accessible right away. Like you can just after school go and walk Ben's Walk or go to the grottos or go to Thompson's Point. Like there's so many amazing other things here that we get to just experience every day and not just on a special holiday. And we get that every day that we live here. And I think that's been an oversight and not communicated well, I guess, to people outside of Nara. Because anyone that I talk to who's moved here from all sorts of places, they all think Nara is amazing because they're starting to discover all of these things because they've given Nara a chance and opened their eyes to what it can be and what is already.
Yeah. And speaking of moving here, I can tell by your accent and probably our listeners can tell that you didn't grow up here necessarily. What is your earliest memory of this town or how did you end up in Nara?
Yeah, so my husband, before I knew him, he was in the Navy for 10 years. He's actually from Geelong originally but was posted here. So he lived here for 10 years while in the Navy. Then he decided he wanted to travel, so he left the Navy and came to Canada for 3 years. That's where we kind of started our relationship. And so because he already had strong connections here and lots of friends, when we moved to Australia, we actually lived in Alice Springs, but people here in Nara were having weddings and parties and all these things that we kept coming back here. And every time I came, I just loved it. I loved every time we spent here. I didn't know the different type of narratives that Nara had, so I was blind to all of that, which was a good thing. I just took it for what it was, and I thought it was amazing. And even though it took a few years before Paul and I actually eventually moved here, we always said during that time frame that once we decided to settle down and have a family and stick to one place, this was going to be the place. And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, we actually had Captain Paul Hannigan on one of the episodes of the podcast, and he was talking about the influence of the Navy and how actually embedded they are in this community. And if you think about that, like, your partner wouldn't have come here, otherwise, maybe to Nowra, and then you've ended up here, and now you're like part of that business community. And so that is the ripple effect beyond just Navy and Navy employment is families and what they, you know, the wives and husbands and the partners and their kids end up doing as well.
Well, I just hired someone for our Vincennia store, and that's the whole reason why she's here, is that her partner has gotten a deployment here. So and she's loving it.
Yeah, and I think that's what Captain Paul wanted to remind us, is like that the Navy is actually a very important part of how this town does flourish because of things like that, plus the money that people are then spending and coming into the businesses and things like that.
Yeah, so definitely.
It's a good reminder. What has changed about Nowra since you moved here, and what hasn't changed at all?
I mean, I'm probably going to have a bit of maybe not bias, but I have, because my focus is so much in food and nutrition and all of these type of things, I tend to focus in those places. And when I first moved here, it was hard to find, say, even just almond milk. So this was about 15 years ago, and I could find it at a health food store, but I was paying a fortune for it as well. Coming from Canada, where these were things that were easily accessible to me, that was something that was quite shocking when I moved here. But I guess I took it under my own hands and just created the store that I wanted to shop in because I couldn't find it. So it's changed because I changed it. But that's what's also great about Nowra, is I feel like you really can be an entrepreneur here. There's just not so much competition, that you can be heard when you're doing something new. And Nowra has always been very much a word of mouth type of place, and locals listen to other locals. So I think you can really have a strong voice here for those reasons.
Yeah, actually, I found that with Be Here Nowra as well. You know, there are a couple of meditation teachers, but coming in and doing my own meditation thing definitely was able to get a lot of interested people through word of mouth as well. And when you come and you do something a little bit differently or present something in a different way like you have, then it is easy to build that community quite quickly. And, you know, you said something else, which I think is really crucial to business, is like build something you want.
You'll be passionate about it.
You know, if you can't get the almond milk at the price that you want it, like build the almond milk store. And you've done that, and usually that's when I see a lot of success in business, is when people aren't necessarily doing it because they think, oh, I need to be doing this. It's because they have that like passion and drive, and that's what keeps you going through the hard parts. So I'd love to talk a little bit about Bomo Bulk, which was the original name of the store. How did it get started, and how did it evolve to now what it is?
Yeah, so my background's actually in architectural engineering. So I studied that in university in Canada, worked many, many years in Canada building projects, then moved to Alice Springs and did it for a few years there, and then into Wollongong, and then into a company in Shell Harbour as well. It was when I was in Shell Harbour that I started having children, and that focus on health became more larger scale, and then realizing that I needed to buy more of these really expensive products that I wanted, and how could I somehow tackle waste, which was a big focus for me at the time as well, but still get really good products. So I started a food group where I would collectively, me and four other families on my street, we would order together and would order enough that we could qualify as a wholesale account and therefore get those discounts, and then we would share it between us. So like buying a 25 kilo bag of sugar or rice, like really common products, and then we would split it between the families. Well, that started really well. And after a couple months, you know, their parents wanted to join or other friends wanted to join. And then a year and a half after, I had 450 members and I was getting 1.5 tons worth of food to my house each month. I was still working my full-time construction job at the time. So this was like my weekend thing I was doing every 4 weeks. And then around that time as well, I was having my third child. COVID was kind of happening. I was working from home. And then my company was falling apart at the same time. The owners were kind of going in different directions. Everything just seemed to happen all at once. So because I just had the third child, I kind of discussed with my husband, and I think I'm going to step back from construction and I'll just do this food group thing and spend time with the kids and kind of handle the household at that time. So we decided that, and I don't know, I guess I'm just a person who can't just sit around or something, but I just kept having this idea of having a store would be so much easier than having all of this food at my house every 4 weeks. And so we started looking at warehouses, but then it just didn't make sense to be paying for a warehouse for all the time when all I needed it was for just 1 week every month. And then when I realized that retail spaces were just as, like, the rent was just as much as a warehouse, well, I might as well open a retail store. And then that way there's foot traffic in between those 3 weeks. And that's just my business mind, I guess, operating like to feasibility kind of sense. And I had pointed out the shop that we're currently in to my husband. And I'm like, I think that layout would be really good for like a Whole Foods store. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then a week later, he's like, you still thinking about that shop? I'm like, every day. And he's like, oh, just do it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I'm like, okay. So 3 weeks later, I had the lease. 3 weeks after that, I opened the store. And it's been onwards and upwards ever since. So it was only last year that we changed our name, basically, because we were opening another store. We do lots of national shipping now. We were just kind of spreading our wings outside of NARA more frequently now, that it just made sense to have a name that could grow with us well into the future.
Yeah, and I think one of the coolest things about that story is that it is organic.
Yeah.
Like, quite literally to the name of the store now, Good Things Organic, is that, you know, it grew organically. Like, yeah. You just had a need that you wanted to shop, eat more mindfully and, or, you know, order good quality food and at reduced prices. And then you got in with your neighbors, the neighbors' friends and family grew, and it just grew. And it was like, then, you know, you got the store, and it's just, I love that story because it's quite inspiring for any people who are thinking about starting a business, because it's like, well, just scratch your itch of what you need.
Yep.
And if it's a good idea, it will grow and grow and grow. And, you know, now to see the success of the store growing, the new location, you know, all the things that are happening, it's a really great example. And in NARA too, you know, that these businesses can be supported. There is a community here that is willing to put their money where their mouth is and buy from you as well.
Yeah, and I think that falls back to that perspective of what people have about NARA. I mean, at the very beginning, I had so many skeptical people come into the store being like, oh, this place isn't going to work here. I'm like, oh, let's just see. But I've obviously proven, I just think what happened is that there were no places like mine for like-minded people to converge and notice each other. We were all kind of in our houses doing our own little food groups because we didn't realize there was a larger community out there to engage with. And so that store has really brought everyone together. And I see it every day in the store, people running into each other and having these amazing conversations in the store. And now there's this place that people can meet and have, meet similar people and just get along.
Yeah. And even the thing, like, you have a stall out the front that's like a food share thing.
Yeah.
And, last year, there was somebody had put a bunch of egg cartons full of zucchini and squash seedlings.
Plants, yeah.
Yeah. And I picked some up. I grabbed probably a half a dozen I planted them, and we had zucchinis and squash throughout the summer.
Oh, that gives me chills. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, it takes up half our garden. They grew so abundantly.
Yeah.
But someone had, like, lovingly got the seedlings, planted them, and then wrapped them in, like, paper towels because it was a hot day, and put them in the egg carton. Wasn't you, was it?
No, it wasn't me. I think I know who it is. I have a few people that they just love growing seedlings. Like, they just have a green thumb for it, and it's often you'll find seedlings outside on that table.
Yeah.
I think there's some there now.
Yeah.
I think spider plants at the moment are there.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, even little things like that about, you know, encouraging the community to be more mindful about how they're growing. And I probably wouldn't have gone to Bunnings and bought some seeds, but, like, the fact that someone had done, like, the little bit, the harder bit, and they were just ready to go, and they went straight in the ground. So,
you know what's funny about that food share stand? When I first started it years ago, a lot of the times people would come in and ask if it was okay to take things off of it. Like, this idea of a community giving something free to other community members was just, I guess, so foreign that they felt like they were stealing, or something had to be a commodity, like it had to be paid for. And I was like, no, it's like this, how we share, like we're sharing, share more. and it took a long time to kind of break people out of that mindset that, yeah, of course, take it for sure. Like that's what it's here for. Like otherwise it just go to waste. So this way, you know, we're tackling a lot of problems here just with this one stand. So I found that really interesting that was, people were nervous to take things for free.
Yeah, it's just that's a commentary on, I guess, yeah, the where we're at right now in society. And I think too, like now I'm more inclined to, when I get excess in my garden, then I'll go and share there too, because that's how these things work.
You know,
pay it forward in a way, and then it's like once you've received, you also like to give as well. So, do you think there is a changing perception, like over the last 5 years, you've noticed changing perception towards organic food and mindful shopping?
In general, have you noticed? Yeah, definitely. I think COVID really kicked it forward quite quickly. I think the progression was already there. People noticed that paragraphs in the ingredients lists were getting longer and longer and uneligible and things like that. But I think COVID really exposed it to a greater extent, because I definitely, once that kind of happened and finished, the conversations in store are very often, I had no idea that they put aluminium in baking powder and things like that. Like you'd think baking powder is just baking powder, but now there's just crazy things inside of every product that used to not be like that. And people have just been used to these products not being in there and just not double checking anymore. Cause why would you? Why would you think it changed? But these things have all changed under our noses. And I think that awareness it's so blindingly strong now.
Yeah. Yeah. In Australia, do we, like, what are the organic standards, or how is something classified organic or not? Is it pretty defined at this stage, or is it?
No, it's pretty good. Because there's a lot of things that will be classified as natural and other things that are classified as organic. So natural, from my understanding, I could be wrong because it's a very complex system.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that if something is natural, it means that nothing in its, once it's grown out of the ground, nothing has been done to it. There hasn't been any pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, anything like that. Or in its processing, nothing. There's been no, you know, bleaching or anything like this in the food from the time that they've harvested to the time that it gets to our store. Something that's certified organic, it goes further into its actual growth. So the soil can't have any chemicals inputted into it or anything like that. Like potatoes, conventional potatoes have root growth stabilizers inserted into the soil so that potatoes and onions and garlics and ginger don't root while it's in the store. So you can't take a potato from a grocery store that's conventionally grown and put it in your soil and grow more potatoes, because it's been treated in a way that it won't actually form roots to then produce another plant.
Oh, yeah.
But an organic potato, so you can come to the store and get an organic potato, put it into your ground and grow it, and you'll get another couple kilos of potatoes out of that one potato. Oh. So that's the biggest difference, is that organic doesn't, even in its process of being grown, doesn't have any chemical input into it.
Yeah, right. And is there a body, people who oversees that? Like, how does one get the stamp of organic?
Yeah, so there's three different organizations in Australia that do it.
Yeah.
It's a good 3-year process, though, and it's quite expensive, and it's something you pay annually. So when I'm supporting, like, local growers, I go to their farms. I know they grow organically. They do all the right things, but they're not certified.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to still take their food and sell it, because I understand that for a small grower, it's completely unreasonable for them to get that certification.
Yeah, yeah. And then if we go to, say, Woolies and Coles, and there's obviously, like, there's lots of things that are certified organic or have like a purple, like Woolies has a purple color.
Yeah.
That would all go through that process.
Yeah. So they'd all be certified by those bodies as well. Yep. What's funny, when you look at organic produce though, say at those larger major grocery stores, you'll find they're usually all wrapped in plastic, which is quite the oxymoron, because usually people who are organically inclined tend to be waste conscious as well. And I always say the whole reason why you'll find it in plastic is because organic produce, things that are grown pure, are made to decay. So eventually they don't have a longer shelf life than all of the produce that's been grown with all these additives to it to make it have longer shelf life. organic will never have that. And so they wrap it in plastic to hold the freshness longer, because to them, shelf stability is profitability for them. So yeah. However they can get shelf stability is good for them. So yeah, I find that very interesting.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because we just had some bananas, our first crop of bananas come on, and they were green for about 6 months. And then on one Saturday, we noticed one went yellow, and within 10 days,
they all go yellow.
From the first going yellow to the last one going basically brown was 10 days. Like, they weren't edible in like basically a 10-day period.
Yep.
And so that was quite eye-opening to me of like, whoa, like, the ones on the shelves, they like come from Queensland. Like,
you can go for weeks.
Yeah. So just how different that is. But thanks. That's a really good insight. We have talked a little bit about community, and obviously community is really important. This was born of community, started as a community thing. And how important is community to business?
Oh, it's everything, isn't it? And one thing I often say to a lot of people is that all these things that the major stores have that we find so convenient to shop at, you can find them at all these other local stores. It took some time for me to kind of find all of these places, but once you do, it just creates a new pattern for you, and it becomes an everyday thing to go to these specific stores. And yes, you may be going to 10 stores, but it works into your life. And I don't see any difference from when I used to do everything at Kohl's to now buying at multiple places. So I think people need to realize that their money goes... like, if they're spending money at a local store, that store is run by a local person or very close to a local person. And then that local person, because they're a small business owner, they understand how hard it is, and they understand that they should support other small businesses. And the money stays within the community. The minute you start spending it in places where these corporations are owned overseas or broadly over Australia, that money is out of your community. It never stays here. So how are we supposed to invest in our communities and build our communities into what we want to if we keep throwing our money out of it? Yeah. So yeah, to me, it's so important.
Yeah. And that's the economics of this, I think, and what we're trying to do with nara.org.au is promote these local businesses and encourage people to spend money within here because it has that multiplier effect, from economics.
And then there's like the whole just the good feeling you get from it. I love that I can walk down Junction Street and Kinghorn Street and around my store, and I say hi to these people. I know these people now. Like, it makes you feel safer in your community. You know, you always have somebody that you can call upon if you need to. Like, just, I never thought, because I lived in Vancouver for so long, and then Alice Springs, I had a lot of that feeling. But then working in Wollongong, and I've never felt like I've actually known people except your people you're actually friends with. But now to just, I walk around and my kids make jokes about it. We'll be in the grocery store and multiple people say hi to me, and they're like, oh, who's that? I'm like, oh, someone who shops at my store. Because you create these relationships with these people that you see regularly, and it becomes more than just a transactional thing. It becomes like I just met up with a friend, even though they bought some stuff. But I've never felt so part of a community. Like, I've never felt like I don't know. It's hard to explain. I've just never had that feeling where I'm like, wow, I belong here. Mm. I didn't grow up here, but I definitely feel like I belong here.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think that's very reflective of what we're trying to do with this podcast, is we're trying to share these stories of how Nara has embraced people and the reciprocity that's happened as well because of that. So that's beautiful. And if anyone is listening to this and they're thinking about moving to Nara, or they're thinking about opening a business in Nara, really take that one to heart.
It's amazing.
Do you have any advice for someone who is starting their own business in Nara today?
I think you need to get out there and be heard. Like, I don't do as much of it now. I still do, but you need to talk on radios. You need to go to social events and network. You need to be out there and being heard all the time. I put myself in so many uncomfortable situations doing speeches and things like that, which 10 years ago, there's no way I would have thought I would have stood up at International Women's Day last year and did a 20-minute speech in front of a group, like a major group of amazing women in our community. Like, that just, I was so nervous, but I did it, and I'm so glad. And, yeah, you need to be out there. You need to be expressing why you do what you do and why other people should embrace that idea as well, or at least get them to give it a try.
Yeah.
You need to talk with everybody. You can't just be seen as somebody who's trying to make a profit, because we've seen that and we're all tired of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that is funny that you've expressed to me that you don't love socializing, but your job is socializing.
Yeah,
like, all
I do
day.
It lots. I know. You're like, oh, I love having one-on-ones. It's the whole, yeah. I don't know, this whole, I think because I see networking as like a, I'm trying to get business.
Yeah.
Where I'm more than happy to have friends. I'm more happy, like I love talking to people and getting to know their story and that kind of stuff. But I will never try to sell. Like, even you look at my socials, which are almost non-existent now, but like my socials are always about conversation. It's never about, hey, we have this new product in store.
Yeah. And I think like, too, I was even thinking about when you started doing socials, you were also working with local businesses as well. Mm. You were working with those local marketing agencies.
Yeah.
And when we're in that period where you were doing some social stuff, and I think that's just a good reminder of those networks as well. The local networks.
Yeah. Yeah. There's everything here. Yeah. There is
and
everything
branding
here.
As well, right?
It was, yeah. Local, yeah. Local. Yeah, definitely. Local business,
so.
Beck Morris.
Yeah. 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 So, Jess, what do you hope Nowra feels like in 10 years?
Oh, man, I hope it feels like what I feel like. I hope it feels like that for everybody else. That's really what I wish. Like, people to be healthier, happier, have a community where we're not giving all of our efforts to hunks of metal called cars and creating bike paths and creating a central CBD where people want to come and hang out and meet and socialize, not just be a shopping experience. I want people to be connected again. I want kids to play with kids and not just think that friends online is a substitute, because there's so much science between how we need us as human beings. We need to socialize face to face. There's so much more than just the words that are coming out of each other's mouths. I want everybody to be happy and healthy. It'd be awesome. But yeah, in 10 years, if there could be bike paths, that major arms that come from all the suburbs that come directly into the CBD, more people engaging with the local hikes that are around, even incorporate some more walks in town that circle around and loop into the CBD, I think would be amazing. Yeah. I mean, we have a massive new hospital, which is a great asset to have, but it doesn't mean that we can all get more sick and use more of the hospital. I think we need to alleviate that pressure on the hospital.
Yeah, if the hospital became redundant, we were doing a good job.
Wouldn't we? If major grocery stores go bust in Nowra, there we go. That's...
Yeah, and I think it's been really awesome to have your input on the nowra.org.au project, and just reminding us of the importance of things like bike paths and sustainability, and reminding us how to build this into a long-term project, because we want this project to stay around for a long time as well, but it has to be sustainable.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Who is one person you'd love to hear their story on this podcast from Nowra?
It's the owner of Elite Energy. I know him on a friend's side, but I've more because he's my husband's friend. But Emo, who is Mark Anderson, Emerton.
Yeah.
Emerton.
Yeah, sorry.
See, that's how I don't know him that well. But I just feel like he's really passionate about bike paths as well and doing more in Nowra. But he's definitely come across some hiccups on making that happen. There used to be a Nowra triathlon here. And I know there's a story as to why it's not here anymore and it's now in Husky more. I would love to hear his ideas. I think it's somebody that Nowra.org eventually should talk to as well. Yep. And he has some ideas on what to do for this area.
So Emo has a place in my heart. He's a wonderful man and a big supporter of Be Here Nowra as well. And we had a very funny introduction in Sydney. So part of this Nowra project, we got invited to Sydney to what's called the Neon Forum. It's like all of the nightlife and districts were invited to come to this big forum in Sydney. And as part of it, they would connect us with potential sponsors and connections. And so it was kind of like speed dating. They would connect us with different things. And one of the people they connected with us was Emo.
Oh, really?
And Ali from our team had known Emo for like 30 years. And then like, I've obviously known him through Be Here Nowra. And we sat down in the meeting. We all just laughed and laughed and laughed that they weren't trying to set us up and connect us. But Emo will get you on season two. Heard it here first, but he'd be a great character to hear his story.
Yeah, I always hear all these like little tidbits on the times that I have hung out with him, but I'm like, oh, there's more to that story.
All right, Emo, season two. Lastly, Jess, do you have any asks of the people of Nowra?
Asks? Yes, just get involved. Stop thinking about what it has been and start talking about positive things you want to see and just do it. Because I find people get so stuck on these negative narratives and they just use that as an excuse to not do anything, but just stop it. Just what do you want and just work towards it or find people who are already doing it and support it. Like, I hate this whole looking at the past. Like, let's just move forward. Like, that's all done with. And this is not the same place it was 10, 20, 30 years ago. And we need to build it into what we want to build it. And that means supporting the things that are doing it.
Yeah, awesome. We might have to run that past our legal team. Nike has Just Do It as their trademark. But I think it's a beautiful sentiment and I totally agree. And I think like you're doing that through, you're inspiring people by doing that. Mm. You know, we call these people preceptors, people who lead by example.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to get people to do things is by doing it ourselves and allowing people to follow and do it their own way in their own flavor as well.
So, awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Jess. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Good day. Thanks for listening.
Back to it.
Thank you for listening to the Nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We are recording in Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. Nowra.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit nowra.org.au or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.